Oh, had I a golden thread and needles so fine, I'd weave a magic strand of rainbow design, of rainbow design. It's Pete Seeger. So what does it mean to be a people of creativity? Well, that's the theme this month of the sermon series that I subscribe to, which is called Soul Matters. LUF's Lakehead Unitarian's Sunday Service Committee also receives a monthly series called Touchstones. So what does it mean to be a people of creativity? What does it mean to be a person of creativity? I wrestle with that material, the material that I received, and I have it here. And what I came up with is a collage of Lakehead's mission statement, some poetry, some reflections, and a spiritual practice called Lectio Divina. Lectio Divina is a Benedictine practice of taking usually a scriptural reading, but you ministers have also taken poetry or song, and reading it and thinking of it, reading it again, having a moment of silence and prayer. So that's what this Sunday is going to be like. I thought about talking about creativity, and man, my eyes glazed over. So instead, I'm starting with the last bit of our mission statement first. To act for a just and sustainable world. Our mission statement says, together in liberal religious community, we act for a just and sustainable world. The poem. She wears the wind like a cloak. Maybe you've seen her scurrying on Northside streets in early dawn, the bag lady who wears the wind. Like charging gusts of aggressive invasion or chilled arrows that pierce the thickest of textiled armor, the Chicago winds are the lightning bolt lances of storms, the unharnessed spirits of wild mustangs that hammer meanness into the streets and avenues. It was the kind of night when northern winds swirling in frenzied attack steal your direction and leave you lost, dizzy, cold. A bag lady passes. She leans into the night wind, pushing a shopping cart that carries her worldly goods, old newspapers, styrofoam cups, and a barbecue grill discarded to become an illusion of well-being. Wrapped in layer upon layer of soiled cast-asides, she shakes away fears. She appears confused and fragile, astray in a carnival of injured emotions. The lines on her old face tell stories of a wandering spirit. For those who perceive, stanzas, pages, chapters reflected in eyes that peer into the cold night. Our eyes meet. She smiles, sparks that flicker, then glow. Kissed by the breath of life, the glow becomes a dancing flame. The energy of human exchange brings her to life before my eyes. Spare change? She asks, in a voice that refuses to beg. A flash of communication, the turtle symbol of my people, speaks. I dig deep in empty pockets. That's okay. She whispers softly. That's okay. Northside winds dance a dance of respect in her honor. She wears the wind like a cloak, mysterious and flung daringly around weathered shoulders. Now, I attended seminary in Chicago in a neighborhood called Hyde Park with big, old, well-kept houses, some of them mansions, trendy restaurants, a world-class university, and at least a half dozen other seminaries. and a regular contingent of street people. To the north and especially to the south of us was poverty, dire poverty. Over the months and the years I was there, I developed an ethic of towards those street people that I encountered, an ethic of giving and generosity. Every week I would set aside $10 or $20 that I could give away. I'd say hello to every single person who asked me for spare change. I'd look them in the eye. I would usually have something in my pocket to give them. And when it was gone, I still would say hello, still would look them in the eye. And I could truly say that I had nothing at that point to give. Now, I knew that some of this money might not be used for healthy stuff, but as soon as it left my pocket, it was that other person's to do with as they needed. Now, in one of our classes at seminary, we talked about our various ways of encountering and interacting with the folks we met, the street people we met. And most of my classmates didn't have extra money in their budgets. I was lucky. We had sold our home in Montana for a profit, and that profit was going for my tuition. And I was further subsidized by a spouse who had a fairly good income. And some folks argued with that idea of giving money away to people, but it was my way. Now, another thing I did while I was down there, I always bought a copy of the local newsletter. It was called Streetwise. It was a way that street people could make money, and that's where this first poem came from, a book of Streetwise poems, From Hard Times to Hope. My local vendor has signed my copy. She Wears the Wind was written by E. Donald Two Rivers in the 1990s, I believe. There are so many poor, needy souls, so many ways to help, only so much time, so much energy, so much money. Lakehead Unitarian acts for a just and sustainable world through its social justice projects. Ways to help poor, needy souls. Stoves for Nepal, providing alternative clean energy, empty bowls and meals and backpacks, bolstering the nutritional needs of our children and the families in this community, participating in the truth, healing, and reconciliation process to become more aware of white people's history and ongoing relationship with indigenous peoples. She wears the wind like a cloak. Maybe you've seen her scurrying on north side streets in early dawn, the bag lady who wears the wind. The lines on her old face tell stories of a wandering spirit for those who perceive, stanzas, pages, chapters reflected in eyes that peer into the cold night. Our eyes meet. She smiles, sparks that flicker, then glow. Kissed by the breath of life, the glow becomes a dancing flame. The energy of human exchange brings her to life before my eyes. Spare change? She asks, in a voice that refuses to beg. A flash of communication, the turtle symbol of my people, speaks. I dig deep in empty pockets. That's okay, she whispers softly. That's okay. Northside winds dance a dance of respect in her honor. She wears the wind like a cloak, mysterious and flung daringly around weathered shoulders. Just a moment to reflect on the ways we care. Make this a more just and equitable world for others. There's a piece of street art opposite the Duluth food shop. It's on the wall in the alley. And along with the bold picture, it says, "It is imperative that we maintain hope, even when the harshness of reality may suggest the opposite." So may we maintain hope, even when the harshness of reality may suggest the opposite. With that golden thread, I'd weave the courage of women giving birth. With it, I'd weave the innocence of children over all the earth, children all over the earth. Now the middle portion of our mission statement says, together in liberal religious community, we nurture inclusive relationships. And the poem, did you ever think there might be a fault line passing underneath your living room, a place in which your life is lived in meeting and in separating, wondering and telling, unaware that just beneath you is the unseen seam of great plates that strain through time, and that your life, already spilling over the brim, could be invaded, sent off in a new direction, turned aside by forces you were warned about but not prepared for. Shelves could be spilled out, the level floor set at an angle, in some seconds shaking. You would have to take your losses, do whatever must be done next. When the great plates that slip and the earth shivers and the flaw is seen to lie in what you trusted most, look not to more solidity, to weighty slabs of concrete poured or strength of cantilevered beam to save the fractured order. Trust more the tensile strands of love that bend and stretch to hold you in the web of life that's often torn, but always healing. There's your strength. The shifting plates, the rest of earth, your room, your precious life, they all proceed from love, the ground on which we walk together. Well, if you've been living a while, and it looks like everybody in this room has for a while, some of us longer than others, and if you've been in this community for a while, you know of the forces, the fault lines that separate us, that fracture our lives. Longtime friends relocate, members receive dire diagnoses, our dear ones die, pass to the next place, leave beloved shaped holes in our universe. Yet we look not to the hardening of our hearts. We find the multi-strands that connect us, feel the pulsing vibrations of our supporting web. The poem was written by Reverend Robert R. Walsh in his meditation manual called Noisy Stones. Did you ever think there might be a fault line passing underneath your living room, a place in which your life is lived in meeting and in separating, wondering and telling, unaware that just beneath you is the unseen seam of great plates that strain through time, and that your life, already spilling over the brim, could be invaded, sent off in a new direction, turned aside by forces you were warned about but not prepared for. You would have to take your losses, do whatever must be done next. happens when the great plates slip and the earth shivers and the flaw is seen to lie in what you trusted most, look not to more solidity, to weighty slabs of concrete poured or strength of cantilevered beam to save the fractured order. Trust more the tensile strands of love that bend and stretch to hold you in the web of life that's often torn, but always healing. There's your strength. The shifting plates, the rest of earth, your room, your precious life, they all proceed from love, the ground on which we walk together. So may we discover, may we tend, may we trust more those strands of love that hold us. May we find healing, discover our strength. May we proceed from love, the ground on which we walk together. Far over the water, I'd stretch my magic band to every single land, to every land. Well, the beginning of our mission statement reads, together in liberal religious community, we grow in spirit. And the poem. Of all the questions you might want to ask about angels, the only one you ever hear is how many can dance on the head of a pin. No curiosity about how they pass the eternal time besides circling the throne, chanting in Latin, or delivering a crust of bread to a hermit on earth, or guiding a boy or a girl across a rickety wooden bridge. Do they fly through God's body and come out singing? Do they swing like children from the hinges of the spirit world, saying their names backwards and forwards? Do they sit alone in little gardens, changing colors? What about their sleeping habits, the fabric of their robes, their diet of unfiltered divine light? What goes on inside their luminous heads? Is there a wall these tall presences can look over and see hell? If an angel fell off a cloud, would he leave a hole in a river, and would the hole float along endlessly, filled with the silent letters of every angelic word? If an angel delivered the mail, would he arrive in a blinding rush of wings, or would he just assume the appearance of the regular mailman and whistle up the driveway reading the postcards? No, The medieval theologians control the court. The only question you ever hear is about the little dance floor on the head of a pin where halos are meant to converge and drift invisibly. It is designed to make us think in millions, billions, in to make us run out of numbers and collapse into infinity. But perhaps the answer is simply one. One female angel dancing alone in her stockinged feet, a small jazz combo working in the background. She sways like the branch, a branch in the wind, her beautiful eyes closed, and the tall, thin bassist leans over to glance at his watch because she has been dancing forever, and now it is very late, even for musicians. You have to kind of put on your fanciful UU hat for that. I've been reading Madeline L'Engle's children's fantasy, A Wrinkle in Time. I can't remember reading it as a child, but Hollywood has recently made it into a movie with quite fanciful-looking characters. Now, I read in the back of the book, in her Newbery Award acceptance speech for this book, Miss L'Engle writes, "What a child doesn't realize until she is grown is that in responding to fantasy, fairy tale, and myth, she or he is responding to what Eric Fromm calls the one universal language, the one and only language in the world that cuts across all barriers of time, place, race, and culture." So fantasy, fairy tales, myths, I wonder if this way of thinking is the very language we sometimes need to wrestle with, that religious language, that spiritual language, that language of hope and faith and charity. What does it mean to us to go beyond the boundaries of faith, ethnicity, our ways of arriving at the truth, to move toward and through the universal questions of who am I? Why am I here? Why is the world here and the way it is? Why am I the way I am? What am I to do with this life? How am I to act? How are we to act toward one another? The only question you ever hear about is the little dance floor on the head of a pin, where halos are meant to converge and drift invisibly. It is designed to make us think in millions, billions, to make us run out of numbers and collapse into infinity. But perhaps the answer is simply one. One female angel dancing alone in her stocking feet, a small jazz combo working in the background. She sways like a branch in the wind. Beautiful eyes closed, and the tall, thin bassist leans over to glance at his watch because she has been dancing forever, and now it is very late, even for musicians. imagination, in focus, in our comfort with ambiguity. May we engage our fanciful, speculative child self. May we be open to metaphor, mystery, reverence, wonder. And may we discover our ultimate sources of hope and inspiration. Show my brothers and sisters my rainbow design. Bind up this sorry world with heart and hand and mind, hand and heart and mind. Oh, had I a golden thread and needle so fine, I'd weave us a tapestry of rainbow design, of rainbow design. So may we find that clearing in our lives, relish adventures, great and small, create religious community that grows in the spirit of life, welcomes stranger and friend alike, builds on an earth made fair, and all her people one. May it be so. May we make it so. Blessed be.